What would you do if you were being haunted by someone you knew? What if it wasn't just someone you knew, but your family? Can an angry and hateful spirit truly come back? Today, we test the believability of the grandfather spirit.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. It's Tuesday. I'm back in Ohio. You're back to working.
Blech.
You had your spring break. I was in Atlanta doing some video work.
Yeah.
Shout out Matt. Shout out Dr. Riley, if you're listening.
Shout out my couch. Shout out
what show did you watch?
PlayStation. Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah.
Spirit, Miyazaki.
More importantly, you watched The Batman.
I did watch The Batman. Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
I haven't seen it yet.
You might by the time this happens.
I don't think so. You look online, it's still only the camcorder version where somebody is in the audience with a camcorder. I got to wait for it to come out in HD and then I'll watch it.
Speaking of HD, is this ghost that we're going to talk about in high definition?
This ghost that we talk about?
Yeah.
It's a grandfather spirit, so I don't think so.
I'm very excited.
It's like SD.
I'm excited to see what this is about.
So I'm going to be very transparent here. This is probably a story that should have probably been in a listener submission collection.
Really?
But I like that. I like the premise of it. It's very unusual in a certain way. You kind of already got a hint. There's like a familial thing to it.
Yeah.
Which is very peculiar. So it's its own episode. It's a little over the place. We have an intro, which has nothing to do with it. But it's so interesting that I couldn't not add it. And I hate the word interesting, but that's just how I feel about it because I'm torn and okay. I don't know what to
do. I'm equally as excited to hear this.
Yeah, my mind is all over the place and so is this episode. But it is actually, it is chronological. It is a chronological episode.
If it's not, I have to put you on blast.
Topic wise, it's all over the place, but it isn't chronological time. So think about this is the way I presented to Charlie before we started recording. Think of this first story as like when you're sitting down and you watch a really good preview before your movie starts. Like if you're going to see a scary movie, you're going to get a couple comedy previews in there, but you're also going to get a really good horror movie preview where you're almost like, damn, I wish I was watching that instead. You know what I mean? I don't know if you feel that way, Charlie, but I know there's people out there that know what I'm talking about.
I've never had that feeling.
Okay. So this opening story, which is also a listener submission, is going to be like that preview, which has, again, like the main attraction, it has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Nothing. It's entirely its own thing. Are you ready, though?
I'm very ready.
Okay, awesome. So this comes to us from Kat, who is a patron, and takes place in Paso Robles, California in 2016.
I'm glad you said California because I was like, I don't know where Paso Robles is.
Well, you knew what section of the United States it was in if it was in the United States.
Yes.
Southwestern. So it's 2016, and in 2016, Kat was in sixth grade. I feel old as shit.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. So she's in sixth grade, and at that time, she lived in a house down by a creek. Down by the river. You know what I'm talking about. If you weren't in sixth grade in 2016, you know what I'm talking about. But she's living down by this creek, and she loved spending her time walking around, going through the creek with her friends and her sister. And on this particular day, she's walking through the creek, and they got about halfway up the main path when they both stopped and stared at something completely unbelievable in front of them. After a few moments, Kat's friend asked her, "Do you see that?" Up ahead was an unnaturally tall, dark figure that seemed to have a white, blank head.
Oh. Okay.
Having been super into creepypastas at the time, they both immediately went to the same idea.
Slenderman?
They were looking at Slenderman.
Yes, okay.
After a few seconds of staring, they came to, and without answering her friend, they both turned around and fast-paced walked back to Kat's house.
I like the idea of...
I think it's like almost being inconspicuous, right?
Yeah,
you're not running, But yeah. You're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And
yeah, mall speed yeah. walk time. I didn't mean to just laugh through your story. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's not my story. It's Kat's. And when they get inside back at Kat's house, they turn on the TV for some noise and what I assume some semblance of normalcy. And they wanted to discuss what they saw. But almost immediately after turning on the TV, it went to a static screen.
Oh.
Which she says her TV had never done before.
That's a bad sign.
So she is convinced that her and her friend actually saw the legit Slender Man at the creek. And this, she said this experience didn't stop her from going to and enjoying the creek. They still went and they still hung around. It's still a place that she holds in her heart, but she never saw this entity again. It was a one-time deal.
Oh my God. Yeah, bring some like sage to the creek. Some herbs and
you're just making soup at that point.
Well, I mean,
out of the creek, sage soup.
Oh, that's so scary.
I had French onion. No, not spring. Spring onion. I had spring onion soup.
Spring onion
in Atlanta.
Okay,
it's very good.
I've never heard of that.
Better than sage soup, I assume.
Probably.
So that's it. That's the preview.
Oh,
but let me ask
okay.
you.
Okay.
Because I'm in a weird spot because I don't think Kat is lying. You know what I mean? It's so, the details are there and she shared it with a friend and I don't like, it doesn't, I always like to believe that people don't like think, oh, I'm going to tell them this story. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. like, I do believe you, Kat. I think this is a true story, but I do not believe in Slender Man. We've already discussed this episode 3.
Yeah. I know you, I was just thinking that
you pitched it as a tulpa.
Yeah.
And I get that, but I even personally shoot that down. I don't think it's true. We can find the origin of Slender Man. It was fake.
I know.
The idea of Slender Man can be dangerous, obviously, mm-hmm. with those girls and what they did to that other girl. But I don't think you can see it if it's not real.
Well, that's the idea behind the tulpa, that we know it's fake. We know that. The idea is dangerous, and the idea becomes alive. Now, I wonder, you said they were into creepypastas and stuff before they saw this thing.
Right, so this could be something that was premeditated.
Yeah.
It could be something they were thinking about. But, well, I want finish your thought. Finish where, I, where
maybe
you're at.
Because they were so aware of this mass. And it was 2016. Slender Man was way more popular back then, too.
Yeah, 2012 to like 2017, 16 yeah. was like prime Slender Man.
Exactly. So there was this presence in the entire country / I don't know, maybe even world. I don't know about that. But it was an ever-present thought, and maybe these girls were focused. I assume they were girls, too. They were both girls?
It didn't. I know Kat's a girl. I don't know about
Well, it was tuned on these children that they were had these thoughts about maybe being in the forest and seeing Slender Man, that it manifested as a tulpa.
So you would be more likely to believe that they really did see something and they manifested it rather than because they were so into it, they imagined seeing it.
I'm like 50-50. I don't know. I don't think they imagined seeing it because maybe it was a person.
See, that's where I'm at. If it's because Slender Man was on their mind, for me, I'm more likely to believe that they imagined seeing something or there was something standing there that they mistook for it and their imagination ran wild because it was already on their mind more so than the tulpa idea. Like,
well,
I don't buy that
with Slender Man. Suit in the woods, though?
They didn't say a suit. They said it was a black shadowy figure with a white bald head. So I'm thinking, I believe that they saw something. I just don't know what they would have seen. And I looked up a bunch of animals that are like white and black. And you know them, like the zebras and pandas and mm-hmm. penguins. So I couldn't find something that I could place in that location that would make sense. Maybe it could have been, I don't know, but they're familiar with the area. It's not like you go to a forest you're not familiar with and you see something, it could be a tree that was painted or something, and it freaks you out and you run away and you never go back. Like, this is an area that they explore often. Yeah. So I think they saw something. I just don't know what they would have seen.
I don't either. I don't know. I kind of like the idea. It was tulpa. I still like that idea.
I don't remember what you said that episode. I think I went unbelievable.
I think I said viable.
You probably said viable. You might have said skeptical.
Maybe. I don't remember.
So you think they saw Slender Man?
I think they might have saw a version of something. Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I guess there's other paranormal things that it could have been besides Slender Man, too.
Absolutely. Could have just been a shadow figure.
Could have been a shadow figure. I know when we were talking about the wraiths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not that necessarily had a white face. That was more so with the hood where you didn't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I believe they saw something, but I don't believe in Slender Man. And that's why this story struck me, because I believe the encounter, but I don't believe what they think they saw. And so I'm just at this mental crossroads.
I'm more inclined to believe that it was what they thought they saw. Even
the real Slender Man that was made up in 2009.
The idea of it. I cannot stress that enough.
I guess here's the problem. I don't necessarily buy into tulpas, and you do. So that's the crux.
Yes.
Okay. So here's, okay, let me put this out there. Because the last time we did a Slender Man episode, 2 years ago, we didn't have much of an audience. So now that we have more people listening, if you think that you've seen Slender Man, listen, legitimately, don't mess with us. If you think you've seen Slender Man, because I don't believe in Slender Man, I think it's a great fictional character, like Freddy Krueger. Fictional, but very cool, very entertaining. If you legitimately think you've seen Slender Man, send me your story, send Charlie your story, send us your stories. Because if we do, we could do maybe a Slender Man stories episode, if there's enough of them.
Yeah. And then I'll have to go back and, like, double down on my tulpa thing.
Yeah. Or maybe we'll just believe that the real Slender Man exists, even though it doesn't.
Well, okay. Do we rate this now, or do you want
to I don't want to rate this at all.
Okay.
Cool. I don't want to rate this. This is a preview.
All right.
You're getting popcorn and butter. I just think it's incredibly interesting.
Because it's a very good story.
It's tough. It's kind of how I felt about Skinwalkers, where you believe the encounter. And, well, actually, I do believe in them in general.
Yeah.
But it's like where you almost like you struggle with where you land on believing it. Where you're like, I believe this person. I believe this encounter. But I don't think it's what they thought it was. Which somebody hit us up. And it was about my story. And I thought it was really interesting. I think it was on YouTube. They were like, you don't have to name everything.
I saw that too.
It's okay for something to just be an unknown. And I generally live that way. And I like gray areas because I don't like being 100% one way or the other in most things in life. So I like that idea. But naturally, as humans, we like classifying.
That's
so
true.
We're never going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea. But with that said, that was our preview. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you have your popcorn ready. You have your seat. You know, maybe you're in one of those nice recliner ones that they have now.
Yeah, and people are talking a little bit behind you, and then the lights start to dim.
And then there's shh, shh, shh. And then there's that one baby crying in the back. You know what I'm talking about.
Why is there a baby in here?
Why is there a baby in here? It's a horror movie. So on to the main listener submission. All right, so this main story, this main listener submission for today's episode was submitted by Cheyenne.
Okay.
I was not given a specific location or year that this took place.
All right.
Here, and it's this is why. I don't think it was meant to be kept out for, like, secretive reasons. The way our form is built out on our website, it's, like, years. And some people are, like, 2018. And some people are, like, it lasted about 2 years. You know what I mean?
I know.
And then
everyone has a different interpretation.
And then you say, like, the form says, where did it take place? And some people are like, you know, Cleveland, Ohio. And some people are like, my house. Which is, you know, totally fine.
I know.
I don't think, unless it's pertinent to the story, it doesn't really matter.
I like the vagueness of it.
Makes it feel like it could happen anywhere.
Yeah.
Right. And like I said, this is a little bit shorter than some of the other stories that we usually use to take up an entire episode. But I like it. I think it sticks out. And the premise is a little unusual. And it strikes me in a particular way.
Unusual is good.
Yes. I think it's a little different than a traditional haunting. As if there was anything traditional about a haunting. The only thing traditional is Scary Movie Dad, right?
Absolutely.
And exploring
sounds. Birds in the walls.
Birds in the walls. That you explore at night in your underwear, right? So this haunting is very much unlike anything I've heard before in terms of family and a presence coming back, because it's not like you see family coming back that wants to visit with you, right? This is more of a sinister family experience. So before we go into Cheyenne's story, she made it clear that this main encounter it's not the only paranormal encounter she's had, so it's not like a one-off. She's had experiences before when she was really young, like about 8 years old.
Okay.
She remembers lying in her bed at her dad's house, and while she was playing on her phone, which is crazy to me that she had a phone at 8 years old.
I know, right?
But I don't think this is that long ago, because I think she's like 14 now.
Okay.
But as she's playing on her phone on her bed, she feels the air getting really heavy, which if you've experienced before, you know exactly what she's talking about, which I think about your bedroom back when we lived together in our apartment. Because I remember me and Alex, and even my sister came over one time, and it just felt heavier in your room. Because your room was haunted AF.
I don't know.
Don't worry. It was.
Okay.
But anyway, so Cheyenne's on her bed. She has her phone. She's playing around, but she feels this heaviness. But she just ignores the feeling. She tries to push it to the side, and she keeps focusing on her games. But eventually, that heavy feeling dissipates. But as soon as it does, she feels a hand grab her ankle.
Oh.
So she shoots out of bed, and she runs upstairs to her dad and tells him what happened. And in her words, and like we all know, like we literally just said, her father acted in classic horror movie fashion.
Of course.
And told her that she was just imagining things. So, to prove him wrong, Cheyenne showed him her ankle, which had a red mark where she was grabbed, but he said that she was just seeking attention.
Really?
Nice.
Dang.
So she's not a complete stranger to the unknown and the unusual. But let's fast forward 5 years until when Cheyenne is 13 years old, which is when the story takes place. So Cheyenne was at home, chilling, completely alone. She said her family was out at a concert and they weren't expected to be back until very late, like 1 or 2 a.m. So she said she was hanging out watching Naruto. Just chilling.
Hell yeah.
So you get it, right?
I was literally watching that today. So
were you?
I was.
Did you have anything spooky happen?
No.
Any update on the demon cat, by the way?
I haven't seen anything else. Nothing else has happened. I'll let you guys know.
Okay. So she's chilling, watching Naruto, whatever. Her family's gone. She's by herself. She invited a friend to come over. Wait, but
do you say Naruto?
What am I supposed to say? Naruto? Yeah, Naruto. I can't listen. I probably shouldn't purposefully say things like that. You know what it looks like. I'm just kidding.
So what do I cut now?
Leave it all. It doesn't matter at this point. It's one of our best episodes, apparently, so it's all good. Anyway, that was very fourth wall breaking. Anyway, so she's watching the show that I'm not going to say again. Or is it a movie? It's a show, right?
It's both.
Okay, perfect.
There are movies.
She's looking at the screen. Whatever. Whatever's on's on. You know, it is what it is. But then she decides to go to the kitchen and make some food when she hears a loud crash come from the basement. So she goes to investigate. And she doesn't really see anything. She notices that there's a broken cup, which she thought was strange because there was no one down there. Her dogs weren't down there and there was no one else in the house, but she decided to just brush it off. So she headed back upstairs, back to the kitchen and to make some food. But then she heard laughing coming from downstairs.
Oh.
Now, Cheyenne had invited a friend to come over, Sam. And they were supposed to be over within the hour. It was a little early. But at this point, she's assuming that he's over. It was his laugh. And he's just messing with her. So she goes back to the stairs, looks down the stairs into the darkness of the basement, and says, Sam, are you down there? But there's no response. Then she hears another crash. So figuring that maybe her friend Sam just didn't hear her or is still messing with her, she calls out again, Sam, this isn't funny. Come upstairs already. But again, there's no response. So at this point, Cheyenne starts feeling a little uneasy about everything and she goes to get her dogs and lets them out. And they run over to Cheyenne. They stay by her feet and they just start barking and barking and barking. So she kind of pushes them over into her room and closes the door to help them chill out. And when she leaves her room and goes back by the basement stairs, she sees a figure standing on the stairs. A figure she recognizes, but is definitely not Sam. Despite being completely taken back by this figure that she's seeing, she immediately recognizes the outline and that it is her dead grandfather. But this isn't a happy, loving grandfather, or wasn't a happy, loving grandfather. In this moment of her seeing him and recognizing him on the stairs while she's supposed to be home alone, all of the things that he had told her, all the things that her mother had mentioned to her about a grandfather started flooding her mind. Her grandfather hated Cheyenne before he passed away. He was violent and often drunk. He didn't like kids, he didn't want grandkids, and he told family members that he literally wanted to drown Cheyenne. He told Cheyenne's mother, "Just let me kill the kid already. She's just a waste of space." And he died from alcohol poisoning when Cheyenne was 3 years old. So again, all of this floods her mind. Not to mention the fact, like, it'd be creepy enough if he was alive. This man that was supposed to be your family, that was supposed to care for you.
Yeah, that wants
was
you
alive, was there. Yeah. But this is the ghost of a grandfather that hated you. A spirit. So naturally, she freaked out and she ran in terror back to her bedroom. In the moment that she turned, she could see that her grandfather started chasing her. But not only did he chase her, he literally threw something at her. And in that moment, she knew that this was legitimate in terms that this isn't just a shadow figure or like an entity that was just manifesting, kind of like you could, like a ghost that you just go through, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is something that is physical and could actually...
full body apparition.
Could hurt her.
Yeah.
So she runs to her room and slams the door. And for about 10 minutes, she said she could hear her grandfather's spirit banging on this door. And when she finally gathered the courage to leave the room after however long she needed to gather herself. For me, I probably wouldn't have left the room. Mm-hmm. But she did. And she opened the door and she peeked around. And the home was silent and there was no sign of her grandfather. So when her friend Sam came over later that night, she told him about her experience. And he thought she was crazy.
Sam didn't believe. Dang.
I asked her in an email follow-up if there was anybody that really believed her. Mm-hmm. She said there was one friend that she trusts and talks to and believes her. So that's good. You need to at least have that one person.
Well, what was thrown?
She didn't say. I don't think she saw.
Okay.
I think... like, he just must have had it and just tossed it. Who okay. knows what it could have been? Maybe it was the cup? Mm-hmm. She didn't say. And unlike Kat with the creek, Cheyenne, to the best of her ability, avoided the fuck out of that basement.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. So, that was kind of it for a while.
Okay.
For a while, that was the end of her experiences. And she never really experienced anything like that again in her house. But that isn't the end of this grandfather's spirit. So eventually, a couple years later, Cheyenne got a job housekeeping at a hotel.
Okay.
Which is really young. I think she's 14 or 15, which, I mean, it's good for her getting a job.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't work when I was 15.
No, I think I got my first job at 16, which isn't that far off.
I worked till I was like 18.
Yeah. It's a good life. But anyway, so she has a job now where she's housekeeping at a hotel. And she doesn't know why, but while she's working... every now and then, she swears that she sees her grandfather's presence in the corner of her eye. But it is, like, strictly peripheral. Like, if she looks at it, if she turns her head and makes direct eye contact, it just completely disappears. It's gone. And she doesn't want to look at it, obviously, out of fear. So she doesn't want to shift her attention. And in a perfect world, she can just... well, I guess in a perfect world, it's just gone.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
You know, she doesn't want to make direct eye contact with it. But she says if she watches it in the corner of her eye, like peripheral, and doesn't completely turn her attention to it, if she does that for about 30 seconds, it viciously charges at her. And when it does, she begins having the sensation of being choked.
Oh my God.
And she says that lasts about 10 or 20 seconds, but then the figure fades away. And this is at a hotel. This is housekeeping. This is a job. So this is definitely something that is following her. It's not not like he died in that house and is haunting that house. It is very adamantly attached to Cheyenne.
Which is interesting because we've had this conversation before. Ghosts typically haunt houses. Demons haunt people.
Yes. That's definitely something worth discussing in terms of... it seems like the grandfather wasn't a great person in general, but maybe things were happening to him when he was alive, you know, but mm-hmm. we can get into that. But just to wrap this up, her story, she doesn't know why it was happening when she was housekeeping. She did end up quitting that job and things seem to be pretty good now. She said it's gotten better. She doesn't notice it as much. So I think she's good. Also, on a separate note, she said that she, in the email back, because I asked her if she did any type of protection or if she tried any type of protection. And she said there was nothing really around her to do or to try or anybody that she could reach out to. But she was definitely open to ideas and suggestions.
Okay.
So on that note, well, actually, let me ask you this. So not discussion, not breaking it down in terms of what you think it is or anything. Give me, what are you thinking? What are your thoughts about this, her story and everything with her grandfather?
I'm thinking, has anyone else seen this entity?
See, I would like, so it's her mom's dad, by the way. I don't know if it really matters, but it's, if for anyone wondering, it is her mom's father. Because her mom was the one kind of warning her. And when her father, when her grandfather was acting this way, her mom kind of shielded Cheyenne from the grandfather. Like, she wanted to keep her away from him.
Mm-hmm. Had the mom seen this thing before?
Didn't say. She didn't say. And I asked her in an email why she thinks that he felt this way about her.
Yeah.
And she said she didn't know. He just, he was a very angry man, and he was always intoxicated, but she said that her mom told her that he was pretty violent and angry even before he started drinking heavily. Just not, like, I guess a very disturbed individual.
Yeah.
It's very dramatic in terms of how he felt about Cheyenne.
Which is weird because,
like, could you imagine having a like, putting yourself in the mother's situation, imagining having a child and then your parent, your father is the one saying, like, let me drown her, or like, let me just get rid of her. We don't need her.
Like,
how did Cheyenne's mom get raised?
Was her mom young when she had her?
I don't know.
That's interesting. It's a thought. I wonder if there's just some kind of, like, hatred there because of, or felt that Cheyenne was getting in the way of some kind of thing that the mom could be doing for him. I don't know.
Like, she, by getting pregnant and having a baby, it ruined his daughter's life.
Yeah.
That's not the way it felt, but there's so much context we don't have that
there's
I don't know.
There's a lot
know. There. And he passed away when she was like 3, so it's not anything that Cheyenne really could have gathered.
I'm not saying that's true, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just speculating.
Naturally, you want to know why this grandfather, I mean, grandparents love their grandkids. Come on.
Yeah.
It's like cookies and milk. Grandkids and grandparents. I don't know. So on a separate note, because I was looking up different things about people being haunted by family members. Because like I said, I feel like most of the time when you hear about familial spirits, it's like almost a relief.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think I saw my grandmother, or I think I saw my grandfather, or I think I saw my parent, or like my ancestor. Like, it's almost like I'm being watched over. Mm. Not every, obviously, we just talked about Cheyenne's story. Obviously, not every encounter like that has to be a peaceful one, but I haven't really heard. That's why this struck me as so unusual, is you don't typically hear about a family member being haunted by one of their own family members, especially like Cheyenne didn't do anything wrong.
No, absolutely not.
It's not like, you know, if a cousin killed another cousin and then they were being haunted by the cousin.
Yeah.
That's like a very Hollywood movie, but it would, you know, you could almost justify why it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
This feels so random and vengeful unnecessarily. So I wanted to see what other kind of things I could find out there. And I didn't find much, but I found this story. It's on YouTube. It's animated. I recommend checking it out. And they said it's based on a true story. Like, I think people submit stories and then they animate them. Like, well, you submit stories to us, and we turn them into episodes. People more talented than us, you submit a story to them, and they animate it. We should send one. I should send my story. The YouTube video is called My Grandmother's Haunting Me.
Okay.
So the story starts with a young boy who's living with his parents and his sister. And the young boy is in the shower, and he doesn't see her, but he hears his sister come in and say, "Hey, I have a friend over. She's going to use the restroom. Just don't pull back the curtain."
What?
She can't hold it. She really has to go, you know, must be a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, you know, right?
Yeah.
She really has to go. Just don't open the curtain. And he's like, okay. And he hears someone in there, whatever. They're in there for a little bit of time making noise, and then they leave. So he's like, whatever. Didn't look, showers, gets out of the shower, walks outside in the living room, sees his sister. And he's like, "Hey, who was it that's over that needed to use the bathroom?" And she's like, "No one's over. What are you talking about?"
Okay.
Which is creepy, and I'll be honest, it doesn't really relate to the rest of the story, but I found that very unsettling. I'm just being transparent here. This isn't my story.
No.
So I'm going to be honest by telling you, I don't think it necessarily relates to the rest of the story, but it's very unsettling.
Yeah.
Like, that context, terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's assumed that the sister's not messing with him, right?
Like, right.
That means two things. One, something was in there with him when he's in the shower. Mm-hmm. And two, something mimicked his sister.
Yeah, to get permission.
Mm.
To get permission, that's the biggest thing there.
Right. So, weird, but he's like, whatever. So, later that night, he's sleeping, like most people do. And he, not me, not, or your wife. But he wakes up, and he sees this lady, all in white, standing by his bedroom door, just watching him and smiling. Can't really see the face perfectly, but the hair is down. Naturally, he screams, which wakes his parents up, and they rush in, and they're like, what's wrong? Is everything okay? And he points at this woman, and he says, this woman is watching me. And they said, what are you pointing at? There's nothing there. And to convince him, his father walks over to turn on the light. But while doing so, he literally walks through the lady. And when he flicked the light on, she was gone. So a few months later, they move from that house. And while packing, the boy finds an old photo of a woman that looked familiar. And he thinks about it, and he looks at it, and he thinks about it, and then it hits him. This photo that he found in his house is the woman that he saw staring at him in the bedroom. And he asked his parents, who is this? Who is this lady? And his father said that was his mother, the boy's grandmother, and she died 20 years ago. So he claims to still see her at night when he wakes up, watching him. So not quite as sinister, but how does, like, it doesn't, the sister and the bathroom thing is tied to this story in terms of the timeline, because it's the same day.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense to me. And I don't want to diagnose this too much because this is a random story that mm-hmm. I found on YouTube that has nothing really to do with what we're talking about. But
no, it does, though, because it has that parental, that
familial.
Yeah. Tied to it. I think permission.
Mm. That's a good point. That's a really good point. I actually, it's crazy because when you wake up and you see this ghost, this, you know, grandmother spirit looking mm-hmm. at you, you get the visual of it, but you already learned, like, I get more freaked out by sound.
Yeah.
Like when I'm watching a scary movie, I don't cover my eyes, I cover my ears. So that's creepy. But honestly, to me, the shower thing is so much creepier
mm-hmm.
because something mimicked his sister's voice.
Yeah.
Like, what? But with that, let's go to the discussion. All right, now is the time that we like to thank our new patrons. Obviously, we appreciate all of our patrons and we appreciate everybody listening. But this next 11 seconds is dedicated to the newest patrons, which are, at the recording of this episode, Nicole, Jada, Layla, Joshua, Emily, and Yasmin.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is. We appreciate all of you. We hope you enjoy all the extra bonus content, which is, I'm going to pimp you what, Charlie?
I don't even know. The quiz?
Quiz, director's cuts, oh, okay. Do you believe the bizarre social media responses? Every Monday, we put a question up there. Y'all respond to it. And then we are told your responses, respond to your responses, and then respond to the questions ourselves.
Wow.
It's Christopher Nolan would be very impressed.
Yeah, it's pretty circular. I like that. It's pretty good.
We also, you know, can't say this enough. If you are a member of our Patreon in the dedicated tier for 3 months, you get a shirt sent to you automatically.
Yes, that just comes to you. And it's a very specific design. It's a very cool design.
Shout out Emily.
Yeah, we only used that designer one time.
Emily. But she killed it.
She did.
She did make flyers for us, though, that we have never put out anywhere. But I do want to put them out. Shout out Oddmall. For anybody who follows us on Instagram, you saw that I went there last weekend. So it's like right by my work. It's called the Oddmall. Just a bunch of weird, odd things. And it's all supplied by local artists. Like, it's not like a department store or anything. Like, artists literally drop their stuff there. So eventually, maybe one day, Believing the Bizarre stuff will be there. Who knows?
Just to remind you, we are now over the halfway point to me getting this BTB tattoo.
That is right. At 200 patrons, Charlie will getting Believing the Bizarre inked on his skin forever.
Like,
so for the low
that.
Price of $2, you can help Charlie get Believing the Bizarre on his skin forever.
That's true. I picked a place where I'm going to do it.
Where's it at?
My lower thigh on top. Yeah.
You're going to get quantity over quality?
No.
Are you going to get an alien going bark, bark?
I'm probably going to do just the logo, I think. Yeah.
Like the square logo or the backgroundless logo? Or the neon logo?
Maybe the neon.
The alternate color rush jerseys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, thank you everybody on Patreon. Thank you everybody listening. Let's get back to the discussion. All right, man. So, no disrespect to Kat's story with Slenderman. No disrespect to the YouTube grandmother story. Let's focus in on this grandfather spirit in Cheyenne's story, right?
Yes.
So, have you ever heard anything like this before?
Maybe. Yeah. Kind of. So, what I'm thinking of specifically is the Enfield Poltergeist, which is a spirit that pseudo-possessed this girl in England. And it wasn't like a real possession because she was there and had control of her mental faculties, but the spirit would talk through her.
Mm.
No relation, but the guy lived in the house in theory before they did.
Mm.
The family did.
I got you.
It didn't want to cause harm to the girl, but it did focus on the girl. So maybe it's kind of like that. Do you follow my logic?
Kind of.
And it also followed her.
Yes, it definitely is not location specific.
Yeah, and that was a strange thing about the Enfield Poltergeist as well.
Yeah.
That followed this
girl. I don't know enough about the Poltergeist. I know it's a huge case.
Yeah, it is.
But you haven't told me about it yet on the podcast.
So. I have not. I'd like to sometime. But it's something that reminds me of what we're talking about right now.
I got you. For me, and I didn't really think about this until you said something earlier. I don't know if you said it specifically or if it was like in a roundabout way. I'm almost easier to buy the spirit of the grandfather. Like that intrigues me, and it's actually terrifying because there's just something, it's like a whole nother context of the situation. Like seeing a physical person that you don't like or doesn't like you and that could harm you is really scary. But then it's like on a whole nother level when you don't understand the chemistry or the makeup of this entity. You know what I mean? It's this semblance of this person that hated you, with capabilities that you don't know because they're not human anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's terrifying. And I think that's incredibly interesting. But I'm also, like, thinking, why did this person hate his granddaughter so much on the personal level?
Yeah.
And I don't remember what you said earlier, but it's like, what if there was something actually paranormal happening to him before he passed?
Well, I said, ghosts haunt houses, demons haunt people.
Yeah. So what if... something, what if he was getting possessed or something? Like, I'm not trying to give him an out. He could have been just a terrible person that succumbed to alcohol and was violent, angry, and just a bad person. I'm not trying to give them an out and saying maybe something paranormal happened while he was alive, which made him how he was. Not trying to give him an out, but at the same time, like, what if something unusual, creepy, sinister was happening? What if he sold his soul for something?
Mm-hmm. And now he's trying, has to pay it.
What if, like, I don't, like, this almost... I don't like going down this rabbit hole. It feels very insensitive to be wondering, like, pretend wondering what could have been happening to this family. But when you think about, like, selling your soul, you have to give up your firstborn. Could there be a selling your soul, you have to give up your first grandchild? Like, what if he felt he had to kill? That is very dark, and I'm not trying to go down this path and say that potentially her grandfather sold his soul. I'm just saying, what if?
It's a stereotype.
It is.
It's a trope.
You're right. It's a trope. That's a way of putting it. And I don't mean to be insensitive towards Cheyenne's family and insinuate that her grandfather sold his soul. But when you think about it from that angle, it is just dark and creepy. And I don't like it. Here's the thing. I feel like people are always looking for the why, right?
Yeah.
Like we mentioned this earlier. It's like we like connections. We like categorizing.
Classification.
So my mind is trying to understand why grandfather would feel this way. And when you start thinking demonic and like the lack of a soul.
Yeah.
And just this violent, angry person.
Yeah. Pay this debt.
Yeah. What if he died because early, I don't know how old he was. He could have been really old. I don't know. But what if he died in a bad way with like the alcohol poisoning because he didn't finish his debt of killing his granddaughter like he promised or whatever. And that's the whole trope in itself, like you were saying, but I just can't comprehend
why this, there would be
this much aggression.
That much malice toward your family.
And then to come back. Like, it's one thing if you have that much anger in the human world. And yeah. then, but to actually, like, hate someone for no reason and then to die and then to come back in a spirit form. Unless the spirit wasn't her grandfather.
Right.
Which is entirely possible. Mm,
it's, but it's using that guise.
But it's also, it matches with how he was in real life. It'd be yeah. different if he was a loving grandfather in real life and then this image of him coming back in the, you know, when he's passed on yeah. is violent. That would be mm-hmm. a different story.
That'd be a juxtaposition. That'd be almost obvious that it was a spirit in the shape of the grandfather, but because they act so similar.
Yeah, it's succinct. It's he's alive and dislikes her and he's a spirit and yeah. wants to harm her. So it makes it seem like it could be the same person or the same mind.
But the fact that it travels with her to her work.
Yeah, just, oh man. And it's not like...
Why else would he be attached to her?
Now, if you put it in the real world, if you put it in terms of it not being a paranormal, and it's in her mindset,
yeah.
maybe it could be like her subconscious to a certain degree, but at the same yeah. time, it's not like he died and did all this stuff to her when she was like 9.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was 3. You have stuff built in your subconscious while you're 3 and younger, but I don't think it would be to this extent.
Right. Right. Like, I don't think her form, I don't think if, like, she has anxiety, it would take the form of her grandfather because she was very young when he passed.
Right. I don't know, though. It'd be really messed up to learn, though. Like, that's how your grandparent felt about you.
Yeah. It'd be terrible.
And then it feels like it came out of nowhere. I mean, from ages 3 to 13, that's 10 years. So, if, like, 10 years, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's just chill. And then out of nowhere, you hear a loud noise. Like, she said maybe it was her grandfather who grabbed her ankle.
Oh, yeah.
When she was 8. Mm-hmm. She didn't say what it was. But it feels like it comes out of nowhere. Like, this, she knows these stories. She hears these stories from her mom. Maybe, now, I don't know how soon she heard stories from her mom compared to when this happened. If it was, like, the night before, then there's a little bit of influence and bias there. But if it was just over time, nothing happened. Like, she's thinking it's her friend, right?
Yeah.
She thinks her friend's over. She lets the dogs in. Walks outside and she sees this man that she's been told her whole life hated her.
Man, I just really don't like this story. It makes my stomach sick.
It's tragic. It's scary. It's just not good. And I like the unknown qualities. Like, that's what makes ghosts and entities so scary. It's unknown. Like, mm-hmm. a human person is scary. A human being that is angry and violent and can hurt you is scary. But for the most part, you know human capabilities for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's like the mindset of somebody that dislikes you, like, that's why demons are so scary compared to like a cryptid or, you know, like the Dover demon, it's just walking around.
It's just vibing.
It's just vibing around, bobbing its head around.
Yeah.
But a demon, it's like, you know, it wants to hurt you.
Yeah.
Where like this entity is like throwing stuff at you and chasing you and choking you and you didn't do anything wrong. It's just, I don't like it.
No.
But let me ask you, where do you fall on the believability scale about this grandfather spirit?
So here's where I fall. I'm going to say skeptical. Here's why. Because the first and foremost reason is I don't want to believe that there's this kind of malice in the world. I'm going to be straight up with that. I don't want to. Also, I wish there was another like witness to it.
I would definitely like to know if her mother saw anything.
Yeah.
But also, it didn't seem like the grandfather disliked the mom.
Right. Even still, like, any kind of witness. Although, the dogs barking and the fact that things broke, it does put me toward, like, I'm, like barely on the edge here. But the reason I go skeptical is because I just don't want that to be real.
So does that mean every time we do demon stuff, you're going to go skeptical from here on out because you don't want it to be?
No, because, I mean, there's witnesses and stuff.
That's fair. No, when it comes like the Roland Doe one,
yeah.
It's pretty popping. So my biggest concern and issue with this story is not whether or not she saw what she saw. It's more so why it's happening. But that's the why, not the it happening. So I actually go believable. Like, I think she saw an entity. I think it looked like her grandfather. I think it freaked her out. I don't know why he feels that way. I don't know why it's coming after her. Because I don't know what else it could be. Because she saw something, right? Unless you don't think she, like, I don't know. I think she saw something. Unless I would need the context that her mom told her stories about her grandfather the night before. And then the next day she freaked herself out, saw a shadow, thought it was her grandfather, ran away. That doesn't explain the banging. Unless no. It was Zach messing with her, or not Zach, unless Sam. It was Sam messing with her. But yeah, I don't know the why. I'll never know the why.
No.
Unless I get more context, but even then I probably won't know why. But I think
I like
she...
the idea that we proposed, though.
Yeah. I think she saw something, so I'll go believable. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you to Kat and Cheyenne for submitting your stories.
Yeah,
again,
thank you.
If you want your personal paranormal encounter told on Believe in the Bizarre, head to our website, believeinthebizarre.com. Go to listener submission, or submit your experience, I think is what it said. Please fill out the form. If you want your personal paranormal story to be an entire episode, the more detail, the better. Now, sometimes something just happens in a moment. Like, for instance, you're on a creek and you see Slenderman. You know, I don't want you to lie. So if that's what it is, we're going to find a way to fit it in there. Don't worry about embellishing. But if you have a long story with some good details, don't cheap out on us.
Yeah. And Cheyenne, I hope you don't think I'm a jerk for going skeptical. I hope you understand it's mostly out of fear.
Yeah. No, his face was, you can't see it because it's a podcast, but he was terrified the entire time we were going through this. Again, I also want to say, if you have a Slenderman encounter, let us know. Hit us up on Instagram. Hit us in our DMs and we'll collect them if there's enough. I don't think there will be. Don't lie. I'm saying it. Don't lie to us. Don't make it up. But if you have an encounter that you think is Slender Man, maybe that might be an interesting episode again. Because it's been almost 100 episodes since we did that one. Mm-hmm. So a lot's changed. I mean, it's still fake, but a lot changed. And also, I know a lot of people have hit us up recently in the last, especially like 3 weeks with your listener submissions. Just know we have them. We have a very... organized system of putting them away. So if you haven't heard from us, we have it. Yep. Like, we get an email notification. We have it. We don't have anyone on hand. Producer Ben's slacking off. Nobody, he's not slacking off. We love you, Ben. What's up? We have it. So if you didn't hear from us, we're still good. We've gotten a lot. So there's no shortage of listener submissions, but if you have a personal story you want on here, just go to the website, hit us up.
And if you're liking the episode so far, please feel free to leave a review on Apple or Spotify. That would mean a lot to us, especially if it's a good review.
Yeah, especially if it's good. If it's not good, I'm going to be honest, it does not mean as much to us.
I appreciate the feedback still.
We still share it with each other. Yeah. We just, you know, dislike you and we'll haunt you forever. I'm just kidding. Unless you really don't like us. But why are you listening this far in the episode if you don't like us?
Exactly.
But if you are, I appreciate you giving us a chance.
Yeah, thank you. And if you want to talk to us and other people about the podcast, about anything really, feel free to join us on Discord.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I believe in the bizarre.
I'm going to put you on the spot for a second, Charlie.
Yes.
Let's say this is somebody's first episode, right?
Okay.
And they didn't like it.
Okay. All right.
And they're like, okay, I'm going to give them one more chance.
Okay.
What episode should they go listen to next, Charlie?
Depends if they want a cryptid or, you know what? No. Missing 411.
Missing 411. That's so many encounters. Mm-hmm. It's a collection. There's something for everyone.
It's a big one.
Missing 411.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I would say, dude.
All right. Perfect.
What about you?
That's all we have time for. So thank you, everybody, so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
The podcast, as bizarre as you are.
Story is called... My grandfather is haunting, fix that truck.